The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Mm, ooh, 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 have a nana? Have Amy, pretty, Coco. smart.
Love
gorilla,
Coco.
gorilla.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's certainly become clear to you by now. we have Dawn of the Planet of the Apes of the Fever. Yeah, we're crazy for it. New picture coming out this week. Got Andy Serkis as Caesar, of course, doing that mocap. Jason Clarke is here. Keri Russell, Felicity,
terrific.
And monkeys in one movie. Thank you very much.
Halfway through the movies, the monkey cut her hair.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I do have to, and I hope this isn't sacrilege because we do all have monkey fever. How whack does your movie have to be before James Franco is like, sorry, I can't do that, and also I was in Spring Breakers. Like, I can't get there with you for a sequel. We can't do this together.
You want me to act with virtual monkeys?
Again?
No, thank you. I'm going to go kick it with Vanessa Hudgens.
No, thank you.
A virtual Vanessa Hudgens.
Vanessa Hudgens in Spring Breakers.
It's just, it's a man, it's a gaffer with a big bushy beard, and he's holding a tennis ball. And he's saying, Franco, look at the tennis ball and pretend it is Vanessa Hudgens.
Now touch it with your nose and get a treat.
Touch it with your face. It's Vanessa Hudgens' face. And Matt, when you see this tennis ball, hold on, let me get my Sharpie out. Okay, I've drawn a face on this.
Okay, like, he's not doing it. He's distracted. Hold on 1 second. Let me smear a little peanut butter on the tennis ball.
Go, all right. Franco, go.
Franco.
Yummy. Franco. I gotta admit, I'm more excited about another film. I've got Boyhood Fever.
Okay.
Like Scarlet Fever?
I would not go around loudly proclaiming that you have Boyhood Fever.
I have Boyhood Fever! It's a new Linklater film. It's a bold filmmaking experiment. It shows a boy, and they filmed him for like 11 or 13 years or something until he became basically a man.
Griffin, when you loudly proclaimed that you had Boyhood Fever, did you instantly grow a perfectly coiffed mustache?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this tucked in button-down shirt coming from?
You can laugh if you want.
If you hadn't heard of this movie, which I hadn't until last night, apparently they shot it over 12 years, so you see a boy becoming a man. In many ways, this podcast is our boyhood.
It's our boyhood, sure. No, I was but a low unto a child when we started this thing. I was 22 fucking years old. Can you imagine anybody that young ever?
Nobody's ever been that young.
And when you were a child, you goofed like a child. But I now as like a man, you've put away such childish goofs.
The only time I felt that young, I think, in recent memory, is when I was sitting in the theater for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I saw all my favorite characters, all the classic monkeys returning for another...
Chim-Chim.
Caesar.
The Monkey King.
Grondo, the strong one.
Gronk.
Gordito.
Beaver.
Bumblebee. Optimus Primal.
Banana boy with an eye, and that's not a monkey. That's like a man. That was like a man that they kept around.
Gorilla Grodd.
I can't Magilla. Wait. This movie's been getting great reviews. It's 91% fresh, and that doesn't even need any more debate. If you haven't seen a movie in a while and you've been looking for an opportunity, I don't even think you need to see the last one.
You'll go ape for it.
You'll go ape for it. You will, Travis. That's funny because in the title, the monkeys. I want to go.
Please don't email us at
please.
Like telling us the difference. Do we fucking get it? That's the fucking joke. That's the fucking joke. Do we need to take you to fucking, do we need to give you a fucking comedy clinic right now? You piece of trash. That's the fucking
joke. we really turned on a dime there.
But my science book said, fuck you. That's the fucking, do you think, just go ahead. I love it when people are just like, oh, I don't know if they're being serious or not. So let's just assume the shittiest thing about them. There's a fucking joke.
And get, you know, off, what? Let me give you a little secret about your science book. You know, people want to throw science books in our face all the time, constantly. Duck, you know, here comes another one. But here's the thing about that. That's going to be outdated in 5 years. It'll all be like, remember that last book? It was bullshit. We were lying about all of it. Here's the new shit. But this apes is and really
monkeys.
Real.
Apes and monkeys are the same thing. Look at the apes. They're just, they're bigger.
And
they're,
if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? You know?
Uh-oh. Come on, Pasquetios.
We are disassembling science one step at a time, but we're helping you to rebuild your life.
We'll check back in at the end to knock down some more science.
I promise you that all our advice will not be go see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in theaters this weekend.
Which one is it?
Rise is the first one, but I think that's confusing to me, right? Because Rise of the Planet of the Apes, it's not, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is not the same. It should have been Dawn first. That's what always confuses me. You can't rise before the dawn. It's dawn and then rise. Why wasn't dawn first and then rise? It makes me very angry.
I love these movies and I love this franchise, and this is the only thing wrong with it so far. This is the only thing they've fucked up so far. The rest of the movie is like the best movie ever, basically.
Yeah, that, yeah, the only thing I don't like about it.
It's like if they made a sequel to Boyhood and called it Baby.
Babykins, a Richard Linklater film.
Baby Genius. Did you see
Baby Geniuses?
Did you see the new Richard Linklater Baby Geniuses? It's just two baby geniuses walking through the streets of Versailles,
and one of them's like dying,
and they're just one of them's dying, and they're talking about the nature of life and death, and then like they'll take a break, and someone will like write them a poem below the Arc de Triomphe.
Mm-hmm. And also, Ethan Hawke is there.
I really,
man, I want to see this movie now.
I know, really, fucking good movie.
There was no Baby Geniuses 3. There was Super Babies, Super Baby Babies. Geniuses 2. And that's the one where they had a little person with a baby's face superimposed over their head as they danced. I did not enjoy that scene. That was a troubling scene. But this is a troubling podcast, and we're going to try to untrouble you.
We have time for 1.5 questions now.
All right, let's spin it up.
In a moment of weakness and lacking insight from the brothers Wise, I agreed to let my nephew move into my basement. He's in a band. He pays no rent, eats all our food, leaves messes, and generally acts like a 14-year-old. How can I get him to pack up his bags and move away? That's from Carl, the grumpy old man in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Is he 14 years old?
That's a really good question. I don't understand how all this lines up.
Okay, if he's 32, this is a much different question than if he's like 19.
You know, it's so rare that you get to do something nice for somebody like this. I could connive a few ways for you to get rid of them. You know, like, I mean, there's fake ghosts, fake haunting. The basement's exactly haunted. That's easy.
You could gaslight them.
Gaslight them. That's another
just
one.
Every day, remove one article of something from their room and put it like in storage, or move it to an apartment. This is gonna be a really long term plan, but like just one sock, you know, on Monday, and then like a CD on Tuesday, and just slowly move them out of the house.
Can you start an even louder band on the top floor? Do you know what I mean? Like if he's rocking all day and night on his Strat, then maybe you buy an even bigger Marshall stack, point that towards the ground, and just start like laying down some like kidney stone rattling bass riffs.
Oh, I love this. And if whatever their band is called, you call your band that but bigger.
Right. So if his band is Perfect Death, it was like, we're perfect or death.
Let's rock. More Perfect Death.
And then you get incredibly popular. You buy him his own house there behind your house.
Well, you're going to have to entourage this shit.
Why would you want it? If you went through all the trouble of buying him another house,
you don't have enough money to buy another plot of land. So you can only build him a small dollhouse in your...
Plus, you still love him. You don't want him to be too far away.
You
love him.
You don't want to be too far away.
Plus, but you will have a witch cast a spell on him to make him little enough to live in a dollhouse.
Basically, this is called the Candor. is what we have. You put him in a bottle city that you keep in your den. Why have you not told him to stop being a dipshit?
Yeah. I mean, life has to tell you that.
You know, the guy who owns your house gets to tell you that, I'm pretty sure. Like, our dad always told us when we were being idiots. You're his dad now because you own his you own the house.
Correct. Right. Have you never seen, like, any sitcom in which, like, a non-direct family member or friend moves in? You now are responsible for them like a parent. That's what the Matthews did for Corey. Oh, sorry, Sean. Corey was their son. Or, like, in Step by Step, I believe it was Cody and then Flash. You got to treat them like your child.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
There you go.
You're the Uncle Phil to his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You got to Uncle Phil him with your love.
But Uncle, you kind of want to have him grow. Sounds to me like you want to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
That's what you... Okay, this is the conversation you sit down and say, you need to make a decision right now. Are you going to be my Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, or are you going to be my DJ Jazzy Jeff?
And if he doesn't get the reference, out he goes.
Out he goes. He's obviously a Jeff. This is what I'm saying. It is Will Smith, Fresh Will. Was his name just Will in the show? It was. Yeah. That's some bullshit.
He couldn't remember any other character names.
William Ineum. That was his name.
Mm-hmm. William Ineum represented a pretty tremendous, you go back and watch that show, pretty tremendous amount of character growth throughout the run of Fresh Prince. DJ Jazzy Jeff was almost belligerently stagnant.
Well, to be fair, he was thrown on his head several times.
Right. So, I mean, there definitely is a physiological element to it. I'm just saying that DJ Jazzy Jeff, by the end, in the series finale, they're like, we're going to go to college now. And he was like, I just want to party all night long. And then he puts on Lionel Richie's All Night Long because he's like fucking stuck. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. He has no opportunity for that.
He has nothing. Also, did he ever DJ on that show fucking once? Ever?
I don't think so.
I believe he did. There is an episode in which Will rents out the house for a music video. And I believe DJ Jazzy Jeff sneaks in and he's doing a little mixing on the old ones and twos.
That's fun. That's a fun episode.
How frustrating must it be to be a genuine, like, actual musical artist, but for a generation of white people, you are that guy that got thrown out of the house?
Like, no, I had, like, a whole career before this. You go, oh, God damn it. And before we get write-ins, I just remembered that I believe it was not Will that rented out the house. He was trying to stop it from happening. In fact, Carlton rented out the house.
That seems not like Carlton.
See, now I can't
remember. Was that the same episode? Was that the same episode where Carlton bought a gun?
That's a good one.
Dude, that was a real good one. That was Carlton's, like, Breaking Bad, the entire series in one episode for him.
The best episode, I think, is the one where Will has to convince Carlton that racism exists. Did you guys ever
see that? I do remember that.
He was driving slowly and he got pulled over, and he thought it's because he was driving so slowly. And Will Smith is like, no, racism exists. And it blows Carlton's mind because he's never experienced it before in his life.
No, that's not like a laugh a minute episode. That's
not. It goes like really hard.
It's actually pretty heavy. They go fucking hard on that show. We give that show shit.
I'm just saying that
we goof. We goof about that show because it's called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and there's a character on it called DJ Jazzy Jeff. They tackle some fucking heady, heady subjects.
There's an amazing episode in which Will goes off about, like, his dad leaving. It's...
Oh, yeah.
It'll rock you to your very core.
Yeah. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 165... Yahoo Shaman Diamond member Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew Davenport. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
I feel
user.
Like he needs a rebrand. Maybe
Double
just,
D.
Maybe
Double
just
D.
Double D or The Drew?
The Drew. Thank you, The Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user The Walrus, who asks, how to lose weight in my nipples? I was fat, and now I'm not fat, but my nipples are still fat, and they are, in quote, Hershey's Kiss nipples.
First of all, you need to rebrand, because if you lost the weight, you shouldn't be going by the Walrus anymore. What are you doing to yourself?
Well, no, now it's like, now he changes up those expectations.
Oh, I see.
You hear the Walrus coming, and now in walks a really svelte man with, like, huge nipples you can see through his blouse. Crazy big nips.
Huge nips.
And we're not even talking about, like,
Wait, are we sure this is a man?
I mean, the walrus.
Okay.
Okay, wait, hold on. Walrus can also be female. They have to reproduce.
That's a good point, Travis. Yeah, I guess you really undid me. You really unspooled my logic there.
I think...
Either way, I think we can talk about this in a gender... we can talk about anything in a gender-neutral sense. I think you... Imagine, like, I'm having a hard time visualizing these nips.
Okay. I'm not.
And I'm usually super...
Me neither.
I'm usually super
I've been practicing for this day since I was 12.
What I'm saying is...
Given the least amount of information, I am perfectly big.
I had a good decade-long run of trying to imagine what nipples look like, so I am well acquainted.
Are we talking about, like, plump tipples? Uh-huh. Tipples?
They literally say Hershey Kisses. Imagine Hershey Kisses with bumps on them.
So we're talking about...
So
talking
with
about,
pieces of paper sticking out the end.
We're talking about areolas that are elevated somehow. They are topographical.
They just don't quit.
They can't quit.
Can we please approach this with a more clinical
These are sense. All medical terms.
I'm afraid you got Hershey Kiss tipples that just don't quit. Itis.
And we'll probably have to put you in some kind terminal. Of, I don't know, sanitarium.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I know. There's a fetish for everything.
I guess.
You just got to find that one person that loves that look. Cannot get enough. I bet there's a whole website.
Oh, excuse me, madam. I see that you have a grocery cart just full of bags of Hershey Kisses. Well, are you in for a treat?
Do I have a treat for you? There's a part of my body that looks like that?
Would you like to enjoy it? There's a whole subsite on Brazzers that's just Hershey nipples.
What are you talking about?
On YouPorn, there's like another tab just for Hershey nipples.
You mean YouTube?
No, you can't find this kind of stuff on YouTube.
Oh, Prince Griffin.
Is there like a Kegels? Is there like a shirt level Kegels? Is there a torso based Kegel regimen?
I think it's called like push ups, right?
But those aren't going to affect the sinews,
right?
The treble sinews.
Well, here's what it is. It's a long term commitment because what you have to do is stand there and with two fingers of each hand just push as hard as you can.
Get back in there!
It's like 12 hours a day for like a year.
Please get back in me.
And to say that you have, there's vocalization too. You have to visualize smaller nipples.
Because if you miss a day or do it for like 11 and a half hours, it actually gets worse.
You exacerbate the issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
They're going to come back in greater numbers.
Could you cut... all right, when I cut my finger, it mm-hmm. heals, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Could you cut your nipples off and hope that
you're
better
absolutely
nipples
correct.
Grow
you
back?
You have to inject yourself with some lizard DNA first.
Okay. Now I have lizard nipples. Great.
Well, that's the
wonderful.
Catch. And then you have to commit crimes.
That's now I have to do a crime. Perfect.
You can probably tuck them. It's probably some sort of tucking maneuver there. Like fold them over. Depends on if they're functional or not. I guess it does depend on like if you ever want to get anything from these nipples, the solution is probably going to be different. Then you probably will want to go more homeopathic. If you're like cool with them just being more ornamentary, then you can really, take your pick.
Could you have a wizard paint a painting of you in which the nipples of the painting get bigger
are enormous.
As yours get smaller?
Yeah.
And but you then, have to put it into the attic and never look at it because look at those gross nipples.
Yeah, but I mean, then you could have...
Yeah.
Then you could just have like a couple little garbanzo beans down there. If you let that spell get out of
twist,
control.
Because it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
All until they disappear.
Mm-hmm. That's what the original draft of Thinner was.
Mm-hmm.
You hit my niece with your car. Little do you know.
She'll be fine, but just as a little thing to make you feel bad.
No, she's dead.
No nipples. Oh,
no, she's dead. So I'm going to lay upon you the most bodacious gypsy magic.
I just started dating a 24-year-old guy. I'm 34. He's super sweet. We have just enough in common and not that it's fun and interesting getting to know each other. He stays at my place a couple times a week and asks for a key to my place. I glossed over it, but I'm sure it will come up again soon. How do I handle this without making him feel bad? That's from Aged in Astoria.
So I'm guessing
the bad feelings. You didn't say that you don't want to give him a key.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's implied.
That's a pretty good...
If that solution were available to us, we would hope that you would disclose that.
So here's... sometimes the ambiguity of word, like when you say you just started dating him, but then you say he stays over a couple times a week. So it's been enough weeks that it's formed a pattern. Are we talking like a month, 2 months, 6 months? Like if you just started dating and it's less than a month, by all means, no.
That's crazy. I mean,
don't give him a key.
The only sort of chronological like measurement we have is that they say that they just started dating him.
Yeah, so I guess.
So no, that's no, because like, listen, everybody, I love New York. It's a tremendous city full of bright lights and big people.
I heart NY.
I do. It's everybody there is on some sort of chase or some sort of grind or some sort of groove or some sort of
mystery,
by which I mean that a lot of them will just take your shit.
Yep.
If you let them into your place and you don't pay attention for a second, and they're on that grind too hard, well, you can just your new Keurig is like their Keurig now.
24 is so young. He might as well be one of Fagin's boys. You might be dating the Artful Dodger.
That's Are you ready for this? I just figured out how I handle this situation.
Oh, see, I had a good one too, but let me hear yours and see if it's as good as mine.
Okay.
Because mine's great.
If he brings it up again, you tell him that the landlord
asked you won't not to make, you make a copy. Yes!
You too. I wish I had. God, I wish I could be your brother someday. I wish I just had like that brotherly link. That
because
you two have.
Here's the best thing about it. If in the future you decide you do want to give him one, you can cash that in. You say, like, listen, I really fought the landlord on it, and I convinced him to let me do this for you.
Because I would do anything for him. Yeah, no, that's
good. The great thing about that is that you can continue to use this fictional landlord throughout your relationship.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He told me not to buy you an anniversary present.
The landlord said I had to be. The landlord said I had to be Big Spoon. I don't know. Landlord said I should finish the milk and not replace it. He said it's a city code thing. I don't know.
The only question. The landlord said the only way I can not get evicted is if you do mouth stuff to me. It's a weird thing. And I don't know how we could even prove that it happened.
I actually am thinking about breaking my lease because
this is really, but no, if you insist.
Now, but okay. So now that we've solved the problem for you, the question I have about it is there times that he's spending in your apartment that you're not there? Because if not, it's kind of a non-issue, right? Like, as long as you're always there, why does he even need a key?
Yeah, why has he got to be there that you're not there? That's what I don't like. That's what's implicit with the key issue.
Yes, I think the only time that giving someone a key, that's it. There's a reason that in, like, sitcoms and movies, it's always such a big step. Because it is, and it's way bigger than I think people make it out to be these days.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a big difference between someone who's basically living with you and someone who is living with you.
Right. No.
And giving them the key is saying, like, hey, you're living with me now.
It's an important boundary.
Let me ask you a question. When you ask him where he's living, does he give oddly vague answers? Sort of like, uptown, sort of here and there kind of answers?
I'm kind of a citizen of the world.
Kind of a citizen of the world. Does his breath always smell like beans?
Don't. No.
I'm not saying he's homeless. I'm saying he's a hobo. There's a
he's
big
a free spirit. He's a rail rider.
Rail rider. Exactly.
He's a whale rider.
He's a whale rider. An adventurous whale rider. Any port in a storm, though, with these
a
guys.
A hobo of the seas.
A hobo. Sea hobo.
Oof. I mean, it's supposed to be an important boundary.
Yeah,
like Rachel doesn't even have a key to my car. I don't know what she's gonna. I don't know what she's gonna do with that thing.
I don't trust her.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those. There are questions, and there are probably other ones that I'm just not thinking of right now. But like, there are things that should never be asked. They can only be offered because there's so. It's such an imbalance of power, right? it's not like, can we move in together? Because I think that's a sacrifice from two people, like, looking to make a decision together. Can I have a key to your place is like, that is, I have nothing to lose and you have everything to lose. Because if you look at every relationship that's ever happened in the history of the earth, no one at a month in thought, I bet this guy would take my TV. Mm-hmm. I bet this is the kind of guy that would poop on my floor and then leave.
I had a roommate once, and her boyfriend, every so often I would like come out of my room and find her boyfriend there to find out that she was not home and he was just there hanging out in our living room and like hanging out at our house.
No,
and
they'd been dating
about 3 or 4 weeks at this point. And later, after they broke up, I said, so why was he around so much? And her response, oh, his mom kicked him out because he sold their electronics for drugs.
Awesome.
Cool. And this is the dude that we just like had in our home. So here's the thing. It's like, even like, you don't know this dude. You don't know him that well. And even if you do, there's no rush to this. Like, if he needs to hang out at your place, that's a much different discussion than to have constant access to it all the time, no matter what, no questions asked.
Happy,
you know what I mean?
Happy we could help there. We seem very helpful.
Yeah, just lie, I guess. How about another Yahoo?
If you're sure. We got a lot of good questions, too, though. It's up to you.
Not like your shitty Yahoos.
Well, I don't know why we have to be so combative about it all of a sudden.
I'm just saying that real questions are better.
Just don't let me...
How about just like a quick Yahoo, just a quick thinker? We don't even actually have to talk about it. I just want to sort of project this into the consciousness of America.
Just like an amuse-bouche.
I just want to amuse-bouche this into the hearts and minds of the real America.
If
you're a part of real America, you know that I'm talking to you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Amuse-our-bouche.
I didn't write down who gave it to us. Oh, it was, of course, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew Davenport. Yahoo Answers user Zaneta asks, and again, let's make an agreement right now that we won't address this. I'll just say it and then project it into the minds of the real America, and then we'll move on. But how does cat dog go to the bathroom? Does it come out of one of their mouths or something? So that's just out there now. Now it's in the sphere. Now it's in the ether, and people can, you know, digest that and discuss
it. Talk about it on our Reddit.
Just like sort of put it out there. Here is another one by Drew Davenport, though. It's by Yahoo Answers user Rachel, who asks, Fast and Furious party? I'm having a party for 18-year-olds and can't think on what I can do for it. They all have their own character to be, like, for the night, but can't think of what else there is to do. I don't want the drugs side of it, because we are all not like that. So has anyone got any ideas on what I can do? So we're talking about a themed...
Okay, first, I want to say I have seen at least 4 Fast and Furious movies.
Okay.
Drug use does not play into these movies.
Not in a significant way.
Not in any way that's like played up and addressed.
Wait a minute, party thrower. Is it possible you haven't seen the Fast and Furious movies? Because if so, that would make this much more difficult.
Because here's the key thing about these movies. It's driving cars. So unless you're driving cars inside this party, you're pretty much just people dressed in, like, tank tops.
I mean, it's not all... You are selling these... You are doing these movies a tremendous discredit.
Oh, no. They're awesome.
No. But I'm saying that there is a lot of human drama taking place... Not behind the wheel of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Not anywhere near a car. Away from cars is what I'm saying. They are...
Non-car related.
There's friendships. Loss.
Like motorcycles.
Relationships.
Tanks.
Helicopters. Jet skis. 4x4s. 4-wheelers.
You should just come as a Tokyo Drift character and say, fuck everybody else.
Fuck all y'all. This is the best flick in the franchise. Y'all don't even realize it.
It's a future. I don't know. A post-quel.
Yeah.
It's not even a sequel. Every other Fast and Furious movie is a prequel to Tokyo Drift.
It's all leading up. It's all building up to the...
Fast 7 is a sequel to Tokyo Drift.
Oh, is that true?
What?
Yeah.
Because Tokyo Drift is set in, like, 2015.
You're making shit up.
It's set in 2015? Like, that's some future destination?
Well, when it came out in, like, 1999.
Come with us into the world of of 2015.
Your Mitsubishi still has wheels? I guess. All right. Come on my hover Mitsubishi.
I just looked at the Wikipedia page for Fast and Furious, and there's a bit about future, like what the future of the franchise would be. And the very first line is, Vin Diesel indicated that he loves Fast and Furious 7.
Oh, great.
What precisely would...
You know what? I'm gonna go.
First, folks.
You know what? I'm gonna go on the record here. I like this movie.
That was a really solid Vin Diesel.
I'm gonna go on the record here and say I like this film that I did.
I did a film,
and it's pretty great.
Your
Tokyo Drift,
not bad actually.
Can we talk? Thank you. Can we talk though about, because this is literally I'm always thinking about Fast and Furious movies. It's like my power jam in my head. It's not like a little song I sing to myself. It's just I think about those movies, and it makes me like fucking psyched. But we do need to talk about Tokyo Drift, because I've never really thought about this before in my life. Imagine if there was a series of skateboard films, a series of skating films, and one of the films they did was just called Skater Boys 4 Jumping, and it was about it was about a sect of skateboarders who have now realized that they can get these goddamn things off the ground. It's talking it's the feature that the star of Fast Fear 3 Tokyo Drift was not whatever that hillbilly was that they cast in the lead role instead of the beautiful angelic Paul Walker.
So the soon to be deified
Paul Walker, who had a limited amount of acting time on this earth, and they fucking squandered it and gave it to that fucking hillbilly.
I do have a serious question that, just to interrupt real quick, if anybody knows this, please let me know, because I've never seen Tokyo Drift. Is that character supposed to be Paul Walker's character's son?
No.
Because they
have
a baby in like 6.
No relation. You are trying to build a connection, a thread that does not, a through line.
That can be your side fiction. That can be your Ferris Bueller doesn't exist.
I'm like saying...
alternate theory.
I'm saying the hillbilly hack.
Andy's mom owned the guy from Tokyo Drift.
I'm saying the hillbilly hack who starred in that movie was not the star of the movie. The star of that movie was a thing you can do with cars. It's like if they did Fast and the Furious 5, Fast Braking. And then it was all about Fast Braking. And then they made Fast and the Furious 6, Reverse Driving.
Well, what they blew it on is what they should have done is at the end, well, maybe they still will, at the end of Fast 7, a car drifts and somebody goes, hold on. Got something there. Develop this technology in Japan.
It would be like if in the movie Burger Time series, Burger Time 4 was just called ketchup. And at the beginning of the movie,
flipping,
someone like stepped on a tomato and poured some vinegar on it accidentally.
Yeah.
It was like, the game done changed.
Yeah.
Here's your burger.
You ain't got no ketchup? And then that would be Chris Tucker.
Was that Chris Tucker? Chris Tucker? In the movie Burger Time 4 Ketchup? Is Chris Tucker the star of that film, or is it more of a cameo?
Don't you know about condiments? Chris, get over here.
Yeah. That movie, it really is all about drifting. I don't know if you've seen Tokyo Drift, but it really is like they're racing in parking garages. And he like busts his whip the fuck up because he's trying to get up those spins like through regular acceleration means.
I wish I could be in the pitch meeting for that movie where they said like, hey, you know how much people love Fast and the Furious and then the sequel Fast and the Furious 2? Well, I've got another idea for a Fast and the Furious movie. Here's the twist. It has nothing to do with those other Fast and the Furious movies. Somebody just drives a car real fast and slides into things.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
How much you want?
And can I say something? Can I say something perhaps contentious? Pretty fucking tight movie.
What?
How does it compare? Do you like it better than your base Fast
and
Furious?
It lacks the bombast of Fast 5 and Fast 6 onward.
Does it have a buddy feel to it on the same level of Walker and Diesel?
There will never be another buddy feel like that buddy feel.
Okay.
God took it away from us. Thanks, God. I've lived my whole life for you, and this is how you do me.
I was so excited about the triumvirate of Diesel, Walker, and Rock.
Yeah, we were all pretty fucking excited about it. And God was like, oh, nope, nope, this is too cool. They're not ready for this. This is too cool. Pluck. Let me just get that real quick.
Fourth time. This is a shame.
This is too cool. This was supposed to be the last thing they ever did. We can't let them get here yet. Let me just pluck.
This is the end of humanity. This is supposed to be the big finale.
Are they making a Bill and Ted's 3?
They've been talking about it forever, but
whatever.
In this one, I want them to travel to heaven again and get Paul Walker and bring him back.
That's not how movies work. Can we go to my zone? I'm so fucking mad.
I know.
It's just like, I'm not, this isn't like a goof. This isn't like a goof thing that I do where I talk about, oh, aren't celebrities weird? It's like, I'm fucking mad.
To say nothing of the fact that, and I feel like we kind of gave God a pass on this when it happened, but like, God took one of the Deedles. He took half of the Deedles from us, as if this wound.
The only still functioning Deedle. The only Deedle who is still an active Deedle. Shit. This how you do me.
Oh my God. Fucking Fast and the Furious Deedles crossover. Other Deedle rolls
I mean,
up
we like, can't.
Sorry about my brother.
We can't now.
But what I'm here to take over. It's all in the Deedleverse.
You see Paul Walker and Steve Van Wormer together, you think Deedles. You see Steve Van Wormer by himself, and who's that? I have partial face blindness that only extends to Steve Van Wormer, not in the presence of Paul Walker, which is to say forever now. Thank you, God. Do appreciate you killing one of the Deedles. Not at all. What a jerk.
Grade A job up there.
Grade A job. They didn't even make two. They didn't make Deedles 2. Big Bad Deedleborgs. By the way, Big Bad Deedleborgs would have been the fucking sweetest. Fast 8, Big Bad Deedleborgs. They get armor.
I mean, it would be called Fast and the Furious, No Number, Armor Boys. And then it would be about armor. But here's the problem. We couldn't have Paul Walker and that other fuck you just said in the picture. It would have to be another hillbilly hick. Another piece of garbage actor that's not Paul Walker. Fuck it. Fuck, just do the Money Zone.
Surf Wyoming. Damn it. Guys, coding is the most desired job skill in 2019. Surfing is not.
Let's go behind the curtain here.
Well, I want to talk about one month HTML. Let me give you the big pitch. It's the easiest way to learn to code to build websites. You do 30 minutes a day for 30 days, and you'll build an actual website starting from day one. You'll be welcomed into a community also of 12,000 other students who are learning online. So you want to go inside something, Griffin.
You've been doing this. You've actually been doing this.
I signed up. It is extremely reasonable for the 1 month class. I'm taking HTML, the 1 month HTML course.
Does that cover cascading style sheets as well?
There is some CSS in there, yes. So the way it works is actually really good for me, for my like way of doing stuff, is that you watch a video basically in one window. And then in another window in sort of the HTML editor, you code along with what they're doing. And after the first few lessons, like I had actually like I had a functioning website. I work on the internet. I'm in the managing editor of a website. And after 1 week of this course, I think I understand
exponentially more
about this entire process. And like I have designed my own website now as part of the project. Like that's how it ends at the end of the first week, is you making your own website. They kind of put you and I felt like comfortable doing that, at least having like a enough of vocabulary. Honestly, the biggest problem I have with this class is not doing more than one day's worth of classes in a sitting, because it's
intoxicating. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun and I'm really enjoying it. You can enroll at onemonth.com/mybrother and they're going to give you 25% off. So you could have like a whole new skill in 30 minutes a day for 30 days. And even that's not like I have a huge, much better understanding of HTML. Like after a week, I understand so much more and it's a lot of fun to do. And you can get a 25% discount from us. So go to onemonth.com/mybrother and go learn yourself a new skill.
While you're doing that, you're gonna have one key hand on the keyboard, rattling out functions, rattling out transistors, mm-hmm. and like functions and stuff. And your other hand is gonna be wrist deep in a sweet bag of baked sweet potato fries, peanut butter nom noms, or dark cocoa almonds, because you're gonna become a NatureBox subscriber if you aren't already one.
This is something I want to. Okay, sometimes we sell things and like you need to start doing this. You're already snacking.
No, yeah,
like,
you're snacking.
This isn't a thing we're asking you to do. We're asking you to revolutionize it.
We're asking you to get your snack game right.
I got some. They have a few new recommendations. They have cinnamon sugar corn kernels, sort of like in the corn nuts vein, but like sweet and crunchy.
Fuck yeah!
It's like really good. And then there's a what else did we get? Chocolate quinoa. Granola.
Yeah. I still don't understand the structure of that snack. Eat that with a spoon?
You know what I do? I crumble it onto my yogurt.
You crazy motherfucker.
I know. I'm against the grain.
Change the game.
Yeah. And Sydney likes it on her ice cream. So that's how we do.
That sounds really good.
Now, it won't make your ice cream healthy. It doesn't work like that.
No, not like that. It's not. It makes it neutral. There's no alchemical properties to it. It doesn't do that either. But it is tasty. Go to naturebox.com. We're going to get you 50% off your month's first box. Just go to naturebox.com/mybrother, all one word, naturebox.com/mybrother, and you're going to get a healthy treat for half off.
More than any other product we advertise in the show, people get on board with NatureBox. Maybe not more than any other, but it's certainly up there. And we see a ton of pictures of people getting them and very much enjoying them.
Yeah, it's so great too when everybody tweets about that they are on that NatureBox tip because of us, and it makes us feel good, and it also shows our advertisers how much power we wield. So thank you everybody for that.
Crazy, like we shouldn't. No one man should have all this power, especially when they're just like three fucks that like. Yeah.
Just three chuckle fucks.
Just like chuckle fucking their way through life on a wing and a prayer.
Actually, a 1 month HTML tweeted at me after I said I'd started the program, and they said, "You're doing great, Justin. I guess Griffin was wrong about you being a chuckle fuck."
I'm not sure about that. I have a message for Arjuna. You think that's how that's said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Or Arjuna. Is it a hard J?
Arjuna. I think it's soft J. Arjuna.
Okay. Arjuna Logan Young. From David and Will, who say, "Hey, it's your birthday, you big, beautiful bitch. I'm so sorry that I said that out loud to you about you, but I didn't."
We'll read anything.
I'll read Burgundy it. This. I'll say whatever. But David, that was David and Will. So just like imagine, I'll say it in like a different
voice. It sounded more like David than Will.
Yeah.
That's more of a David vibe for sure.
I'm going to do a different voice so nobody can like take this and put it in like, nobody can like splice it. You know what I mean? And make it sound like I'm calling somebody a bitch, because I never would. I don't use that word ever.
Okay.
Hey, it's your birthday, you big, beautiful bitch. No, that feels weird. You are finally fulfilling your lifelong goal of being a part-time stripper, and the only thing that can make your life better is having the Brothers McElroy judge your life choices. We love you. Happy birthday. P.S. We hope they had fun trying to pronounce your name. Yeah, I mean, you did get us on that one. You did pull a fast one.
What we do not do here is judge.
No, especially people's life choices. Like, we're over that phase. We're,
good for you. Enjoy stripping.
Do you guys sometimes feel like you're more sensitive than, like, other people that you know because of this podcast where we have learned how to just, like, fucking be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we were good at just, like, being before we started this show. Just do you know?
Mm-hmm.
JK living, Arjuna. That's what I say. You want to be a stripper? Fuck it. Do it.
JK Rowling.
JK Rowling, Arjuna. Do it. Do it.
This next message for Elliot. It's from Matt
Happy
Hall.
Happy birthday, Arjuna.
And his next message is for Elliot. It's from Matt Hall.
This is
and
probably the best. I don't want to like put too much pressure on this message, but of all the personal messages we've ever read on the show, this one is my favorite.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes people will write one and they'll like go over their character limit, so to like cut short or they'll try to like put too much in. It gets really confusing. I feel like Matt has nailed it. And Matt says, "Thanks for vibing it and keeping it tight. If you need me, I'm on my mobile."
It's the best.
Full stop.
I'm fucking uncomfortable with the funniest thing that has been said on this episode so far being authored by somebody who isn't us.
It's the best. Like, please, people, concision. Look at how well
you don't Matt even need to know what occasion this is for.
And you know what? Hey,
good job.
This is almost. I like it almost as a fungible measurement of Elliot. You got 350 characters for your hundo bucks. Is it a hundo bucks?
150, but who knows?
Who knows? It's in that range. You can get a message on the show maximumfun.org/jumbotron for your money. You only use maybe 25% of your allotted characters. So that's you saying, that's you like pissing that money away because you fucking got it to piss. And I love that style.
That's a big move. So
that's a big bold
style. I don't know what to reiterate here. Happy life.
Happy job having
such a sweet friend. You're fucking doing it every day.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're crushing it, Elliot, apparently. Thank you for vibing and keeping it tight. If you need me, I'm on my mobile. I also like people paying $100 to communicate benign messages to each other.
I do too.
Hey, on your way home, bring home some milk. Thanks, McElroy's. Here's a C note.
Especially when it is next available. So he's just on his mobile. He said,
I want to tell this pointless message to my friend in a month and a half for $100. It's like we've invented a new we've developed this new communications app. It's like the new Snapchat, except it's the shittiest imaginable. And people
it costs you a ton of money.
It costs a ton of money. And people are crazy.
And you have no idea when it's going to happen.
It's like worse than the Pony Express.
Hey, feeling lonely? My name's Jesse Thorne.
My name's Jordan Morris. Do you want to listen to a program where two good friends get intimate with amazing guests like Maria Bamford, Rob Corddry, and other comedy superstars?
Jordan Jesse Go is here for you.
Every week we'll spill our guts for you and then make some jokes.
Jordan Jesse Go, free at MaximumFun.org.
A celebrity couple just moved in literally across the hall from my girlfriend and I. We met only the husband, who we didn't recognize at first, but he looked familiar, and after telling us he worked in entertainment, we looked him up on IMDb. Turns out he's married to someone very famous and an actress, and both my girlfriend and I really like. How do we acknowledge we are fans of their work without coming off as creepy from Anxious in Atlanta? How could you do this to me? How could you write a question like that and not
say who it is?
What in the fuck?
Ugh. Are you protecting their anonymity? We don't know who you are.
I want to tell you guys... look at this. Yahoo Answers has provided a service to me. Yahoo Answers has provided value to me as a person. Here's the question: which celebrities live in Atlanta? Okay. Now, this was answered 6 years ago by Spider-Man 7086. So, X. So, it may not be current, but let me hit you with some of the people it could be that this person has seen in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, okay. And so far, I've seen
okay.
The Ying Yang Twins.
Probably not. No.
They are married to each other.
not in Georgia, fact. They aren't. Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Hey, little girl, let me whisper in your ear. Can you please walk the dog and on your way home get some orange juice? I love you.
Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Mm-hmm.
All of them married to each other.
Now you could go knock on Little John's door and just say, Little John, turn down for what? The what in this case is you live across the hall from me. Please turn it down.
And I've got an important meeting in the morning and I just really need to catch.
So that is what?
A crazy, crumping dude just like crashed through my ceiling. And somehow I feel like you are the one to blame. So
turn down, please.
Please do turn down for this.
For this. This is the cause. Usher. Mm. Jermaine Dupri. Uh-huh. Janet Jackson.
No. Because here's the thing. They didn't recognize him at first. If it's fucking Janet Jackson.
You're going to recognize him.
Who is that again?
Okay. Here's where things get a little weird in this list. There's a few more people that I would probably recognize. T-Pain, Ludacris. The problem with recognizing T-Pain is it could also be a monster. You could accidentally identify as a monster. Might be a monster boogeyman who's come to steal your soul. That's the other problem with T-Pain. But Ludacris, okay, probably
you would know.
the guy who invented the Ziploc bag.
No.
Okay.
Who? Okay. Important thing. Who recognizes that guy on site and puts that in the Yahoo Answers?
Had to have been wearing a t-shirt.
The guy
had to have been wearing a t-shirt that said, "Ask me about my invention," and on the back it said,
"I think that's Anthony Ziploc."
Ask me about my super tight bags.
Is that Tony Ziploc?
I think so. He's got the super tight bag shirt. Are there any other celebs? Because we haven't answered this question.
Ted Turner, sure.
No. Atlanta.
Yeah, he just moved in across the hall.
Tyler Perry.
Okay. Okay.
All the Braves, Falcons, and Hawks. So, yes, I mean, yes,
yeah, you would see them in Atlanta.
Andre 3000, Big Boy, Young Jeezy, Bone Crusher, Young Bloods, Young Jock, CeeLo,
okay.
Jane Fonda.
I've just had a question occur to me, and I'm going to try to phrase it very, very carefully because I do not mean to offend the question asker. I do not know your living situation, and I don't know what this building that you live in is like. What is a celebrity couple that is just like renting an apartment across from you?
So, people do that all the time.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
here would be my guess on a shoot, maybe on location in Atlanta,
or maybe they have like family in Atlanta. It's not where they want their main house to be, but maybe they got like a little. Maybe they'll have like a loft there. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to think that it would be totally chill if you just, like, ran into the hallway and said, like, oh, hey, I loved you and such and such. Nice meeting you. Welcome to the building. Okay, see you around.
You know, I bet it would be so novel for this person if you would just not. Maybe you could just, like...
What if you just,
see,
like,
that's where I'm at.
Like, a housewarming present or, like, invited him over for dinner sometime and treated him like a normal human being.
Right, but that's not how normal human beings operate, Travis. When have you ever gone next door
to
someone...
Well, not normal macro human beings, but, like, normal sociable
human beings. We are the most normal human being. We represent...
Real America.
We represent an identikit of real America. That, like, we are the mold, Travis. Nobody does this. Have you gone upstairs to your neighbors upstairs and be like, hey, we made pot pie. Come on down for our pot pie.
No.
By the way, I loved you in Failure to Launch. I just, like...
I'm trying to be funny. I can't stop being so angry at this person for not telling me who this person is.
I mean, here's the thing. I agree with you, Justin, not only because I desperately want to know who it is, but I also think that it's an important fact. If it's somebody who's, like, known for being totally chill and cool and, you know, or if it's someone who's known for being kind of reclusive and not wanting to talk to the press, that's a huge difference.
Can I hit you with this? Donald Faison. A Donald Faison, I think, perfectly fits this mold of somebody you recognize, you're not sure what, probably dating some sort of celeb, probably got like a bungalow somewhere, and you say, I love his work. Do I go talk to Faison? He seems fucking super friendly.
I cannot imagine a reality in which I would not be more stoked to meet Donald Faison. I cannot think of an actress I would be more stoked to meet than Donald Faison. I can't think of a person I'd rather get a hang on with than Donald Faison. Seriously?
That's what I'm saying. This like is the, I just flipped the script
ever.
Because we're the real American mold. We're nervous. We wouldn't talk. We're shy. We understand these social norms. But that Faison is such a honey.
You want to get your Faison?
Such a sweet honey pot, and you just want to Faison it.
Here's the thing. Okay, so while I agree with you that we are a perfect slice of real America, I try to. When I am faced with decisions like this and circumstances like this, the way I think about it is, in 10 years, will I more regret embarrassing myself by talking to this person?
Donald Faison, we don't have to be obtuse about it anymore. It's Donald fucking Faison.
Will I look back and be like, man, really glad I didn't embarrass myself by talking to Donald Faison? Or will I say,
Faison.
Yeah, I fucking met Donald Faison. I talked to him and like we ended up hanging out. We played Call of Duty together. It was super chill.
Why would you play Call of Duty?
He came over for pizza a couple times.
Yeah.
He ended up being best friends. How do you make new friends with Donald Faison?
Not to exclusively talk about Scrubs, but I do want to supplement this tale with a personal sort of warning from my own life. I was at LAX last E3, not this E3, but the E3 before. I was at LAX, and I saw John C. Reilly in the security line, like,
fuck.
Of course, looking like so dope. had a guitar case, had like the dopest look for his whole steez. His whole thing was like he had a cool hat and he had a cool look, and he had such a cool look. I saw him, identified him. That's Mr. Cellophane. That's my guy. That's Steve Rule. Like, that's my dude. But, yeah. Uh-huh. But in my head, the name I had attached to him is John C. McGinley.
No, Justin.
Now, hear me out. I didn't go talk to him. I saw him at the ATM after the line and was literally a hair's breadth away from saying, hi, Mr. McGinley. I'm a big fan of your work. So fucking close. I was literally in Charlotte before I was like, oh, God, that was John C. Reilly. That was not John C. McGinley from Scrubs.
Do you know why you didn't act on that? I think this is the most important factor in these types of decisions. You had, it is a biblical concept, which is appropriate. You had mustard seed faith. You had a mustard seed size faith that you were a dumb shit. There was a doubt, a small grain of doubt, and you acted.
And you walked on the water and ran away.
You acted on that doubt, and you said, there's a 0.01% chance I could be
that
wrong,
is
so I'm not going
to do this.
That is
the core of social anxiety, is that somewhere deep down in you, deeper than all your other secrets, you have a suspicion bordering on certainty that you are a dumb shit.
Yeah.
That's the core of it.
But okay. I hope that this helps the person asking this question, but I look at it this way. From my point of view, this isn't like they're out to they're not like at a opening or something in which they are characterized as fancy star person. They're in their home just being a regular person. If you run into them, don't acknowledge it. Just treat them like a regular person. Treat them like you would anyone else.
Yeah, this is what you do. You have a house party or a bungalow party. You knock on their door. Hey, I just want to let you know we're going to have a party tonight. We'll be done before 11, so we're not going to go too late and be too loud. But by the way, we're going to have nachos. It's a nacho party. It's a Fast and the Furious party. So, Donald, if you and your wife, Casey Cobb, want to swing by, this is his wife's name according to IMDb, then we would love to have you. We'd love to hear some stories on the set. We'd love to hear what it's like to work with John C. Reilly. Anyway, that's just the invitation, just putting it out there. It was nice to meet you, Donald Faison.
I would like to suggest this. This person has to, the actress, and I guess to some extent the actor who seems to be less well-known, but I think that it's different because you live so close to them. I think that the best thing that you can do if you really care is to ignore them, because they go around being recognized and like they're in their day-to-day life constantly, and their home should be a sanctuary from that, I think. And I think the best thing you could do is just give them privacy and not try to like, I mean, if you see him in the hall, but like, I don't try to establish a connection. You don't need to tell him.
Don't kick in the door. Yo, Faison!
Don't slide notes underneath their
door. Faison, I got a wig. Like, let's do this.
Big fan. Justin, I'm not saying that when you see them, you start snapping pictures and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm Faye. I'm saying, like, imagine that they were just a normal person who moved across the hallway and then follow your behavior appropriate. There's no reason to ignore them.
These are one and the same. These are twain. My normal behavior would be to ignore them. My neighbor mowed my lawn.
And you should totally treat
them
like that. I'm saying that I don't think when you run into Donald Faison in the hallway, you have to avert your eyes and say, I'm sorry, I looked at you, Mr. Faison.
Mr. Faison, I'm sorry. Oh, you burned my retinas. You're so beautiful.
May I touch the hem of your garment, Mr.
Please,
Faison?
Please, Mr. Faison. Am I worthy? Wish I Was Here. It opens in theaters July 18th. This is a new picture from Zach Braff. It does have Donald Faison in it.
They're buddies in real
getting
life.
Getting it be back buddies together. Oh, they're the next ones, though. Shit, which one's God gonna take? This friendship, this cinematic friendship is too beautiful.
I know who I'm pulling for, but I don't want to say it.
It's Zach Braff, right?
I didn't want to say it.
First, before Faison, and not because I hate Zach Braff. I think he's wonderful. I like Donald Faison more, I guess.
Guys, I know that I don't, I kept this as a surprise for you. I know I don't prep for the show. I'm not the one who.
That's not a surprise.
I don't prep for the show, but I did prep for this episode. I brought a special news story that I saw on CNN this morning when I was going over my headlines. I have a, and this is.
Is it? If you were sending this in an email to us, would it be re Donald Faison?
No, there is no Donald Faison connection. But I think it is a story that you will very much enjoy. It is a I'm going to tell you the headline, and then we are going to see how long we can read details, and it remains funny. But here is the headline. Are you ready?
I guess.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure because okay, I know nothing about the scenario that you've...
Here is the headline on CNN.
Okay.
Cake boss gets lost in layer of fog. Cake boss and friends lost in layer of fog. Buddy Cake Boss Valisotra's gastronomical gifts were of little help when his 32-foot Boston Whaler got lost in heavy fog in New York Harbor. People were scared, Cake Boss told CNN of the harrowing journey Friday night with his wife, another couple.
CNN, that's not how you credit a person.
I'm sorry, that was my editorial.
That was your attribution, right. Okay. I mean, it is easier to say than his last
People
name.
Were scared, Cake Boss told CNN of the harrowing journey Friday night with his wife, another couple, and nine
The frosting
children.
On the boat started to melt off.
I didn't know which way to look. Left? Right? I couldn't even see in front of me.
That's how fog do.
And then an angel appeared.
Fog thing. I can't see the city, said Cake Boss, who owned a boat for 6 years. I'm thinking it's dark. We wound up going into this deep, deep fog where you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. We started to get really scared.
That's how he lost his mind on the boat. He left a piece of himself out in the Atlantic, right? And he was just like saying to his friend, he was like, somebody else had to take the wheel from him because he was like one of those captains that loses their mind and just like points their boat to the nearest rock. Like, here's where our souls are going. And he was just rocking back and forth just saying, I can't see my city. I can't see my city.
Okay.
Cake Boss can't see the city.
just to put a capper on this, Cake Boss said a fire department vessel responded about 10 minutes after his distress call, followed later by a police boat. I want to bake them a cake, he said. I want to do something good for them.
It's all I know.
He didn't even realize who I was until the end. It was all business. I'm not the kind of guy to say, I'm the Cake Boss. The Cake Boss.
You have to keep me alive before everyone else.
I'm the Cake Boss. The Cake Boss in distress. Mayday.
They found him on a boat, a raft made of the human bodies of his friends that he took
out. He was lashed to the wheel.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
He said, my wife was flipping. I couldn't pick a worse bunch of people to be on the boat stuck in the fog with.
Wow. Wow. Nobody kept their head on a swivel.
So just to be clear, if Cake Boss is ever an emergency situation, the people he definitely doesn't want there are his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our news segment. Cake Boss, I was so excited.
Can I tell you something? I was disappointed when I found out a boat was involved. I had envisioned maybe a thick fog, right. Maybe landed on the Lower East Side, and he was like, wait, what the? Wait, fuck. Am I in fourth now? Or Oh, fuck. I can't see my city.
Cake Boss, mayday. Cake Boss in distress.
Oh, man. So anyway, that's our show, My Brother Me. It's an advice show or whatever. We hope you've had a lot of fun. We have an exciting, announcement, I guess. I don't know if it's an announcement.
Yeah.
Of a guest expert?
Yeah, we have a new guest expert coming up.
Donald Faison.
We're going to record this in a week, so you have a week to submit questions to us for this guest expert. You can send them to mbmbam@maximumfun.org and just put guest expert in the subject line. Our guest is Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love and the Signature of All Things. Like a real...
She's like, just, that's a thing.
Like, that's a, like a real-ass awesome person.
Like a real awesome person. She wrote my favorite book that I've read in, like, years. And she's going to be on the show. So that's kind of crazy.
Okay, she threw out a bunch of different subjects on which she could Gesper, and here's some of my favorites. Books, getting them written. Quests, basic. Creative encouragement, general. Goats, their lore and care. Public speaking, 19th century botanical exploration.
Okay.
Moving from town to town for no particular reason.
We got that one.
Yeah.
Optimism.
We already did that one.
Yeah. We've got that. All due respect, Elizabeth Gilbert. We have got moving town to town for no particular reason covered.
I would say maybe books. Maybe books and goats.
Quests. I say use okay. any of those. Like any, use whatever. Any, whatever you want. Have a question for Elizabeth Gilbert. She is a listener to our show for reasons that defy explanation. And she's going to be here with us. So that's awesome.
What if the three of us, it's probably because the three of us each represent one of the ideals in the Eat, Pray, Love trifecta.
Oh, God, I'm Eat, aren't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you're totally, totally oh, Eat. Justin, I think you're Love, and that yes. leaves me with Pray, which that leaves me with Pray, which makes, I think it makes a lot of sense.
We got.
You're a very godly man.
Travis, I've been seeing some action on our YouTube channel. Can you fill me in?
That's correct. So, you know, we've been a little bit lazy about it, and we are vowing to fix that. So we've released a couple videos just this last week.
Pop-up videos, I've seen people call them.
Pop-up videos. I call them fun facts for, you know, copyright reasons. But a friend of the show, Jeremy Frank, also recorded the 9:30 New York City live show. So we're releasing clips of that. And in case you listened to the last one, the audio quality is better on the video. So
yeah, it
make
is.
Sure you check it out. You'll really enjoy it. We're also doing fun facts videos, just kind of re-releasing old episodes with fun facts about the episodes, about us, and about just random things. So go check it out. Go to our YouTube channel, MBMBAM. Make sure you subscribe and then tell all your friends about it. You know, hopefully everyone will like it. And with the fun facts, it should be an easy way to get people who maybe don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, we basically just want to get more full-length episodes of the show on YouTube. Just, like, make yeah. it as easy as possible for people to listen to it however the hell they want.
You can share it at a specific point, too. So if there's a specific
right.
bit on one of those. We actually, yeah. it would be great. What we need to do is time code those.
I know. Yeah. Well, we had the wiki project. Well, I mean, we didn't. Somebody was working on a wiki. But I don't think it ever
got off the ground.
Completion. Anyway, there's also the other stuff. Twitter. MBMBAM on Twitter. All of our names on Twitter will get you to us. Facebook fan page has been popping off lately. And the appreciation group, I'm sorry, has also been popping off. You can find those. Appreciation group, you have to request permission to join. It's how we keep them spammers and haters out. But we're usually pretty quick to admit people. And am I forgetting any other social channel?
Well, I mean, our greatest source of publicity, our biggest advertisement is you, the listener. So, I mean,
can we say our only advertiser? Like, we don't.
Our only advertiser right. is you. So, if you like the show and you've got a friend that you think would like it, tell them about it. Burn them a disc. Send them a link. Get them to listen to it because that's the only way. And you guys, I mean, really, we've grown over the years because of you guys, and you've been awesome sharing.
We haven't spent a red cent on advertising. It's been fully grassroots, and we don't thank you guys enough for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
We love you.
We love you very much. Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. He was a recent guest on our show. He's fucking fantastic. You can also listen to him on Roderick on the Line with Merlin Mann, another terrific podcast. Speaking of terrific podcasts, there's a lot on the Maximum Fun Network you should be listening to. Bullseye, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Throwing Shade, Oh No, Ross and Carrie, The Goose Down, One Bad Mother, Lady to Lady, Song Exploder, Risk. There's a fucking, there's a crazy.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah, Sawbones.
Thank you.
I mean, I just figure every... I mean, I
you did every other show on the goddamn network.
I look at your...
Isn't this just an hour-long commercial for Sawbones?
Right, that's what I'm saying. I look at your download numbers every week when I post it.
So
when I post...
If you like one third of this episode, you will like one half of Sawbones.
I'm saying your show is as big as ours now. I'm saying everybody who's listening to the show is already listening to your show, I bet.
I don't know that that's accurate. Also, you're looking at
also special things.
You're looking at our download numbers?
Yeah,
yeah, we're peeping.
Creepo.
Also, special thanks to NatureBox for supporting the show and being such a longtime supporter of us. If you haven't gone and checked it out, go do that now. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother to get 50% off your first order. Go now. What are you waiting for, you fools? We're still working on getting the new merch up. We've had people asking about it. It's coming so soon, you guys, I promise. Until then, go ahead and check it out, because we still have t-shirts and there's lots of other Max Fun stuff on there. So if you're just itching to get something, go get a t-shirt, this, and we'll put stuff up
stuff
there as soon as we can.
The new stuff we have coming is really great. There's patches, there's buttons, there's two
tote bags,
year in review posters that are coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you. Oh, did I tell you guys that?
No, I saw them on. Really? I saw them on. I went to Chris Grant's for 4th of July, and he's got them both hanging up. They are fucking amazing.
Yeah, Justin graded those. You're gonna lose your shit. So,
All right. Thank you, everybody. Again, thank you so much.
We love you.
We love you very, very much. This final Yahoo is sent in by Nicholas Wolf. Thank you, Nicholas, and thank you to everybody who sent in Yahoos. There's a lot of new contributors this week. If you want to send those in, it's just our emails. Maximum.
We'll still only pick from the Drew, but
no, that's not true. It's mbmbam@maximumfun.org if you want to get in touch with us. Anyway, thank you, Nicholas Wolf. It's by Yahoo Answers user. They have been suspended. But before they were plucked off this earth, they asked, has a baby ever went to jail?
I'm Justin McElroy. I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
My brother, may kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi,
my name's Dave.
And my name's Graham.
Now, what do we have to do to put you in a brand new podcast today?
Yeah.
What, do you want me to drink bleach?
I'll do it.
Yeah, Dave will drink bleach. If that's what it takes to get you to listen to Stop Podcasting Yourself on MaximumFun.org.
Don't make Dave drink bleach. Just listen to the show. He will, but don't make him.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.